Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Shared healthcare decision making. I'm sure you're interested in that as a patient. Having a meaningful, informative, and effective conversation with your healthcare provider, typically a doctor. But if that were easy and a minimal expectation, well, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. I'm Christopher Springman, and this is your Life, Love, and Health. Our next guest has certainly been looking into this communications dilemma that physicians and patients find themselves in. He is Dr. Dominic Frosch, Ph.D., an associate investigator at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation Research Institute. Thank you for joining us today, Doctor.
Yes, good morning, Christopher. It's my pleasure to be here.
This headline in Health Affairs about your study certainly got my attention, and I will quote, "Authoritarian physicians and patients' fear of being labeled, quote, difficult among key obstacles to shared decision making." What is going on there? And frankly, let's talk about the survey that you've done. First of all, what does that headline mean to people?
Okay. That's a very good question. So over the last 10 to 15 years, and some would argue even a bit longer, the role of patients in making choices about their health care is really changing and being redefined. And something that we hear a lot about these days is a growing emphasis on patients participating in making decisions about their care, especially in areas that we call preference sensitive. These are areas of medicine and healthcare where there are often multiple things that one could do. It's not really clear what the best thing to do is, so a doctor can't say, you know, here is the best intervention that I can offer you, and I think you should try that. But rather, there are different choices to be made, and the different choices involve different kinds of risks and benefits, and it really depends on how an individual patient values those risks and benefits in making that choice.
In fact, and I'm quoting from the Archives of Internal Medicine, many healthcare decisions have multiple options, as you said, and no correct choice.
No best choice.
No
right.
best choice. That's the kind of thing that drives patients crazy, because they expect to walk in the door and have the physician say, well, here it is. Thank you very much. And, you know, we'll schedule you for a procedure and off you go. Life isn't quite that easy, is it?
No, it's not. And so, you know, a couple of things have happened over the last many decades, which is that on the one hand, medicine has made tremendous advancements in finding ways that we can help us with when we have health problems, and that can help us lead better, healthier lives. And yet with all those advances has also come this issue that oftentimes it's not clear what the best thing to do is, and no one particular treatment may be sort of the clear slam dunk. So let's actually use a concrete example to make this a little clearer. When a woman is diagnosed with early stage breast cancer, so this is a small cancer that's limited to the breast, she really has two main choices. One is to have the breast removed entirely, that's called a mastectomy. The other is to have a breast-sparing surgery, which is called a lumpectomy. Now, the interesting thing about this is that when we look at long-term survival of women that have been diagnosed with early-stage breast cancer, depending on which treatment you have there, does not alter how long you're going to live. So women who have their breast removed entirely don't live longer than women who have the breast-sparing surgery. But obviously, as I think is even clear just hearing about the different options, what happens and what that means to the woman that has to live with that choice can be very different. And so if you have the breast-sparing surgery, you're also going to need additional treatments like radiation treatments that you wouldn't have with a mastectomy, but you get to keep your breast. Other women, on the other hand, might be really worried that it could come back and would rather have the breast removed. So the key point here is that there are different choices. They don't necessarily vary in terms of their long-term outcomes and how long people are going to live depending on which treatment they have, but they have a very different impact on the daily life that the patient has after the treatment.
Dr. Frosch, this sounds like a negotiation with your healthcare provider, in this case an oncologist who may have just diagnosed you with, what, DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, or something similar. What would be an appropriate strategy for an individual to take when presented with these alternatives say, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think let's first step back, which is not all patients are presented with alternatives. And so the first step certainly is that healthcare providers and the healthcare system needs to change in such a way that that presentation of alternatives is something that happens routinely. The next piece then is if the alternatives are presented, what to do with that? And I think you raise a good question, which is, you know, when does a decision have to be made? Does it need to be made right away? And part of what we're also talking about is that in trying to work through that choice and deliberating about what makes most sense to you as the individual patient, we want you to be able to have a partnership with your doctor because your doctor can help you understand what these things might mean for you from a point of view where they're not personally affected with this, which is obviously hard news to swallow, and help you think through what either of the choices might have an impact on you and what you would find yourself best able to live with and what would make the most sense for your preferences and the things that might keep you up at night.
Our guest is Dr. Dominic Frosch, an associate investigator at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation Research Institute. Your survey indicated that the relatively affluent and well-educated folks who participated in the survey felt compelled to conform to socially sanctioned roles and defer to physicians during clinical consultations. Now, this is part of the negotiation, isn't it, how people respond? What are your thoughts about that?
That's right, yeah. So what we found is that some patients, actually quite a few, felt that if they were to ask too many questions, or even question a recommendation that a physician might make, that would imply questioning their expertise and challenging the physician's authority. In the traditional model of making choices about care, it's really the doctor that drives those decisions. And so patients' concerns about being worried that they might be viewed as questioning the expertise leads them to think that could then also lead them to being labeled as difficult. And then they worry that if they're labeled as difficult, they could receive lower quality care in the future.
Or they might be fired as just being a troublesome, difficult person.
That's
but
right.
There's nothing troublesome or difficult about suggesting, doctor, I will get back to you. Doctor, what else could it be? Doctor, I will consider what you've said, but I'm inclined to get a second opinion.
Right.
Those are all, would you agree, good things to say?
Those are absolutely reasonable questions, and it's every patient's right to do those things.
You know, this isn't like a quiz show.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, this can be very serious life and death.
Absolutely.
And also, as you suggested earlier, with the options for breast cancer, enormous quality of life issues that not only touch your life, of course, but those or that of your intimate partner, spouse, loved one. I mean, it's the consequences of making the quote wrong decision can be very troubling.
That's right, they can.
So how do you create awareness and desire among physicians of the need to create a safe environment for open communication to facilitate shared decision making? Mm-hmm. Where do you start?
Well, so I think there's a few places. One is what we believe is that many physicians actually are probably not aware that patients have these fears and that this is how they potentially perceive the interaction with the doctor.
Well, that's a good place to start the conversation, isn't it? Doctor, I'm very concerned about this. I'm frightened.
That's right. And I think one of the things that you can do as a patient is in selecting your doctor is before you even get into the illness and the problem that you have that you're there to get help with is to state what are your expectations for the relationship and how do you want that to be conducted so that you can help identify a doctor that's going to work with you in a way that makes sense to you.
But that's so simple, isn't it? I mean, it's a very simple thing to say. And you might be surprised by the response. Our guest is Dr. Dominic Frosch, an associate investigator at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation Research Institute. I certainly hope you'll stay with us, Doctor, through the next segment. We have so much to talk about the issue of shared decision-making. I'm Christopher Springman. You're listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD.